At the end of our parasha, there is a man. He's the son of an Egyptian man and an Israelite woman. And he has a fight. He has an argument in the middle of the camp, in front of everyone, with a full Israelite man. And at the end of the argument, this half Egyptian, half Israelite takes God's name in vain. Blasphemes. The people who hear this are shocked. You can almost hear in the text, the intake of breath that someone would do this. They immediately put him under guard and take him to Moses. What should we do? Moses asks God, and God says, take him outside the camp. Everyone who heard the thing that he said must lay hands on him, and then the entire community must stone him. It is a difficult story to read. It is a confusing story to read. And it's layered with all kinds of information and meaning. But I want to get to the heart of this blasphemy. The obvious sin is that you can't say bad stuff about God. You can't take God, you can't waste your relationship with God. It's not nice, it's not appropriate. This is a man who watched the 10 plagues. This is a man who crossed the Red Sea, who traveled with these Israelite people. This is a man who knows God's might. You can't do that. But on a fundamental level, so what? I mean, God is God. What possibly can this person do, say, to harm God? But the text is actually a little more specific. It's not just that he says something to harm God. It's that he uses God's name in vain. God's name is what can be harmed. What we hold responsibility of, particularly as the Jewish people, is God's reputation. What kind of clout does God's name have? In other words, what we hold is God's ability to do work in this world. Because who would partner with a God to make this world better if the God has a bad reputation? Who would partner with the Holy One, blessed be He, if people have no respect for this God? And that gets to the second part of this sin, which is a national crime. That's why every single Israelite is involved in the punishment. It's a national crime because of what we heard last week. Last week, God said, Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. God said, you are holy for I am holy. Fundamentally, the purpose we have as a people is to be holy. And our holiness rests upon God's holiness. When you curse by God's name, you diminish that holiness. You diminish our national character. You diminish from us. And so from this concept of blasphemy, we get two concepts, Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. Chilul Hashem is literally cursing God's name, or heaping negative things on God's name, or if you take it a little midrashically, creating a vacuum, sucking out God's presence from the world. So how do we understand what blasphemy is today? On a fundamental level, Chilul Hashem is what we heard from the likes of Don Sterling. These kinds of terrible comments, these kinds of things that we bring forward, even if we think them in our head, when we make them out loud, when we act on them, that's when we diminish God's presence in the world a little bit. That's when we make it harder to see the divinity and the holiness. And particularly, as Jews, for so long, in so many places, we have suffered persecution. We have a particular responsibility for our own reputation, And we hold a specific responsibility for God's reputation as God's holy chosen people. But even more than that, on a more subtle level, blasphemy can happen internally. What do you see when you look in the mirror? When you look in the mirror, do you see someone created in the image of God? Do you see a partner for God's holy work? Do you see someone who, with every act and every word, is trying to make the world a better place, a kinder place? Because if you don't, that too is a chilul Hashem. Because inside of each of us is a spark of divinity. And it's our job to nurture it, and when we don't, we erase a little divinity from the world. And that leads us to the other half of the chilul Hashem, coined the kiddush Hashem. This concept of blasphemy subtly lays responsibility on our shoulders. Because not only can our acts and our words diminish God's presence, they can also increase it. When we do an act of kindness for a stranger, how much more likely is it for that stranger to do an act of kindness for someone else? When we extend the olive branch to our family member who we've been fighting and feuding with, how much pain does that ease from a parent or another family member? When we embrace our loved ones, when we focus on the positive, when we notice our blessings in this world, then we are increasing God's reputation, God's name. We are increasing the opportunities to see and find holiness. We have the power with our deeds and our words to show off God's presence in this world. And so we find ourselves back with the story I began with. What can we learn? What can we take to try and take this responsibility of Kiddush Hashem seriously? First is the man himself. When is it that he does this terrible thing? When is it that he takes God's name in vain? It's when he's angry. And in public. And in a fight. That is when we're most vulnerable. The first lesson is when we are angry, that is the exact moment that we need to be thinking, what kind of kind thing can I do for someone? What sort of loving words can I share? That's when we're in the most danger of diminishing God in this world. But more importantly, the rabbis go into why this man was so upset. In the wilderness, the Israelites had a very specific camping structure. Everyone had to be in their exact spot. Each tribe had a location. Each tribe was then split into clans, split into families, was split specifically into their spot. But that went by the father. The rabbis say this fight was about this man, the son of an Israelite woman and an Egyptian father, tried to pitch his tent in the Danite tribe section. And they said, get out. It goes by the father. You don't have a place here. And in that moment, we are all responsible. I don't know where his place should have been. I don't know if it was with the Dan tribe or with another tribe. I don't know what his status should have been. But for sure, we who were with him had the responsibility to make sure he had a home, a place to be. God says over and over again, there shall be one law for the stranger and the citizen alike. One community. If someone is with you, around you, amongst you, they are your responsibility. The Israelite people created a situation where he felt he had nothing to stand on, no home, no place to be. And that is one of the ways we can prevent blasphemy. Prevent the kind of things that lessen divinity and holiness in this world. We can do it by making sure those around us have a place. Those around us feel that they have a home. We can do it by not accepting that anyone needs to be an outsider, needs to be cut off, needs to feel lost. So this Shabbat, as we enter Israel's birthday, a chance to celebrate, and we think about the Jews from all over the world, from different cultures who have gone to Israel, found a home in Israel, and struggle to find a way to make it their home, as well as the peoples from all over the world who call Israel their home. I hope we too can struggle. Struggle to use our actions and our words to do Kiddush Hashem. Struggle to use all that we have at our disposal to make people feel at home, feel our kindness, to make people feel the little spark of God that is inside each of us. Shabbat Shalom.